Good word, Norman. Good word. Please be turning in your Bibles to Psalms 32. I thought Norman was going to steal my sermon. Here in my notes on page 2, I've got that reference to Jesus and the storm on the sea there. And I learned some things from your side of the story. The point I'm planning to make a little later is that the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus. Most of you remember that. The disciples marveled that the winds and the waves would obey Jesus. And my point will be that the wind and the waves are smarter than some people. Wind and the waves obey Jesus. And now I've learned through Norman that some people put more value in a herd of pigs than they do a relationship with Christ and His healing power. Well, we meet all kinds, don't we? Anyway, so much for that for now. Interesting things can come out of little revelations, tidbits, nuggets that come out of these things. You find Psalms 32? Well, let's pray about it. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for what you've done in this service thus far. We appreciate so much feeling and knowing and experiencing your presence. Lord, that is why we're here. We're hungry for the presence of God. And we thank you for your presence. And we pray that the presence of God in the form of the Holy Spirit will be richer and richer as this service continues and proceeds. And Lord, that your word will come to life on the inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we'll have a personal connection to your word today because of the personal connection we have spirit to spirit between you and your body. Lord, we thank you for doing marvelous things in this service and changing our lives that we can leave here different than the way we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. I was meditating on I was reading the scripture, and what I read caused me to begin to meditate. This is what I read. I read the first two verses of Psalms 32, and then I read verse 5, and so I'm going to read them in that sequence. 1, 2, 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And I just felt in my heart I was to meditate on those three scriptures. And I sat there and began to review them and meditate on them. And within a couple of moments, I was weeping. And I was just, big baby tears began to well up in my eyes. And I was weeping. And I was weeping. And I was weeping. And I had a glimpse of a great revelation. Just a glimpse made me weep. I don't know the whole revelation yet. I just had a glimpse. And the little glimpse of the revelation that he forgave me of my iniquity. You say, preacher, you've been preaching all these years and don't know you're forgiven? I'm still getting it. I'm still getting it, folks. And I began to weep before the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you that you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you didn't have a past. But I can promise you that I have things in my past that should not have been there. And I would gladly give my right arm yet today, cut it off, if certain things had never been done. But I can't go back and undo them. I can't relive it. And the fact that I still have my right arm reminds me that I can't relive those things, take them away. But I've got a glimpse, a little piece of a revelation, that even though I can't relive my life, the iniquity of my sin has been forgiven. And brother and sister, if we ever come to the place where we realize we're forgiven, I mean, we're really forgiven. Oh, talk about a glorious day. We think we know. We don't have a clue. Barely have a clue. And I wept before the Lord, and he began to speak to me through other scriptures. And I began to research this word iniquity, because the word iniquity in this passage of scripture is what stood out to me. The iniquity of my sin. The iniquity. And I couldn't get the word iniquity out of my mind. It just was everything I'd look at, I'd see iniquity. And I'm going, well, that means sin. And well, that means sin. And you know, maybe I should study iniquity and find out what it really means. And so I did just a short study on it with dictionary and the Strong's Concordance. I'll share a few points with you. In the Webster's Dictionary, iniquity is moral evil. It is fault. It is mischief. And it is punishment of sin. Now, I want you to hide that in your heart. We're going to bring that up in a couple minutes. Iniquity is also the punishment of sin. We think of iniquity as just being sin, but it's also the punishment of sin. It's one thing when Christ forgives your sin. It's another thing when he takes the punishment for you. Not only has he forgiven our sins, but he has forgiven the punishment for our sins. I don't have to pay because he paid the price. You don't have to pay because he paid the price. And I want that revelation to its fullest extent. The Lord spoke to me this morning in prayer, and he said, if you knew how precious your brother and your sister were, if you knew how precious they were in my sight, you'd never have an evil thing or a negative thing to say about them. Ooh. If you knew how precious those people were, you'd never talk about them. Those people we talk about, those people we complain about, were so precious that Jesus died for them and he shed his blood for them so that all the iniquity could be taken out of their lives and so that the punishment for that sin, the punishment of that iniquity could be wiped away too. Somebody ought to be getting happy about now. Wow, I think we're preaching the gospel. We're forgiven. Look at somebody and say, you're forgiven. Strong's Concordance breaks it down in this passage in Psalms into the Hebrew and the Chaldee languages. And it highlights on wickedness. Now, I have never thought of myself as a wicked person. And even when I was in mischief and when I did things that I should not have done, I didn't think of myself as being a wicked person in my mind. Maybe because of the way I was taught and raised, but in my mind, wickedness was like the ultimate sin, the big one, you know? I mean, wicked stuff, like, ooh. Yeah, I don't know what category or terminology that you hold as the highest, most horrible sin. But to me, it was wickedness, you know? A wicked witch. And Strong's talks about iniquity being wickedness. It's also injustice. Sin, sinfulness, unrighteousness, wrong, crime, misdeeds, and offense. Have I ever offended anyone? No. Have I ever wronged anyone? Have we ever sinned? Iniquity. I'm telling you, don't feel guilty this morning. I'm not trying to stir up the old sins and cause you to remember the old sins. The old man's dead. By Christ Jesus and by the blood, the old man's dead. One of my biggest challenges personally is keeping the old man down because he keeps reminding me of the stupid stuff he did. Nobody else has that problem. I guess you're so blessed. I'm forever putting my thumb on the old man saying, get back down there. I'm forgiven. But this word iniquity really got to me. It really got to me, and I begin to... Even though I've repented, and in fact, I've wore out two or three different repenters. I mean, I'm well repented, and I'll probably wear out two or three more repenters. I mean, but I'm forgiven. The wickedness, the iniquity's been washed away. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. If the devil tries to remind me, it's gone. If you try to remind me, it's gone. It's gone. If I say, hey, God, what about that thing I did, you know, in 1972? He'd say, huh? It must have been one of those things I buried in the deepest sea because I don't see it anymore. Oh, yeah. Everybody say, I'm happy now. Let me give you a parable. I'm going to call it a parable. Norman would probably call it a story. I'm going to call it a parable. And somewhere in between those two words, you're going to find what this is. But I saw it as a metaphor, a type. And as I was thinking about this iniquity and meditating on it, and I was being thankful to the Lord for washing away the iniquity and taking away this punishment of sin out of my life and letting me go free. And all of a sudden, I began to visualize in my mind, I began to visualize my own story on this parable. And I saw a man on death row. Visualize with me, if you will, please. I saw this man on death row, and he's waiting his turn for the execution. And they would execute someone before him and bring him out dead, and he would move up. They would execute the next one and bring him out, and he would move up. And it came to the place where he was going to be next. And just a few seconds before they called his name to step next into the execution chamber, the guard ran up and pulled him out of the line and pushed another man in front where he had been standing and pulled him out and said, "Stand over here to the side." And this other man went in. A few minutes later, they brought him out. And the guy says, "What did he do that you had to put him before me?" And the guard says, "Well, actually, he took your place. You can go home. You're free." That's what Jesus did for us, honey. He took my place. He took my place, Norman. I was next in line. And he pulled me out. And then he stood in there and he went in for me. He took your place, honey. Oh, somebody feel this with me this morning. He took my place, Hector. He took my place. The guard said, "You can go home. You can go home. You're free. You can go home." I'm telling you, Mitch, you got it right, bro. He's a good God. Oh, he's a good God. Please turn with me. Oh. To Isaiah 64:6. Lucy's on the computer. 64:6. New King James. Did you find it? "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness." Now, if you notice here, righteousness has an ES on the end. Please look at that. That's plural. It's not one righteousness. That's righteousness is kind of a long, it's a hard one to think about. It's important to see these things. And the English language has a lot to say if we'll study it. Our own personal righteousness is plural. That means I have various righteousnesses in my life. And it says here that they're just a bunch of filthy rags. I don't care how good you think you are, how many deeds you think you have done to clean up your life, those righteousnesses of yourself and of the carnal man are filthy rags in the sight of God. Keep in mind, it says our, not Christ's righteousness, not God's righteousness, not the righteousness he gives us. That's pure. But our own without God righteousnesses are dirty. And then in the next verse, "We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." You know, your sin, your iniquity will take you away. Verse 7, "And there is no one who calls on your name, Lord, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities." Now, this was written by Isaiah before Jesus suffered and died for our sins and iniquities. Without Jesus, our righteousnesses are filthy rags. And without Jesus, we are consumed by the power of God because of our iniquities. But New Testament people, you're not consumed today because of your iniquities. If you believe in the blood, you're free. You can go home. Are you still with me? Go back a few pages, Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his" what? "Own way. And the Lord has laid on him" Jesus. You could say God the Father has laid on him Jesus the what? "The iniquity of us all." What dictates what constitutes iniquity in this verse? It's when the sheep go their own way. Are you listening? If you wonder what iniquity is, it's when you do your thing instead of God's. Now, we all get all righteous and holy and pious and want to quote Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me paths of righteousness for his name. He leadeth me. Well, if you're not being led, you're in iniquity. If you're not being led, you're in iniquity. We must be led by the Spirit of God. We must be led by the Word of God. We must be led by the Shepherd, or we'll find ourselves like this verse says. But did you notice here that God laid on Jesus our iniquities? Oh, I know you've heard this preached in a lot of different ways. I've preached it myself in a lot of different ways. But I'm just bathing in it one more time. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. You guys are so quiet. I guess that's okay. As long as you shout later. Oh. So it makes me wonder about Psalms 23 when I quote that. Do I really quote this as being led? The Lord really is my shepherd? Do I believe that? Or am I just being religious, trying to get the world to think that I'm being led and the Lord's my shepherd? I want to be led. Because being led by the Holy Spirit, being led by the shepherd, will keep us out of iniquity. Oh, I just don't know what to do with this sin. This sin's just bigger than me. What am I going to do, preacher? This sin's bigger than me. Be led by the shepherd and the sin will be left behind. It's pretty simple, really. I know, easier said than done. But if you'll be led by the good shepherd, the iniquity will get left behind. Because the good shepherd runs at the speed of light. You follow him and iniquity runs real slow. It'll get left behind in a hurry. Everybody still with me? Please turn to Romans 8:14. With the thought in mind that we need to be led, Romans 8:14. I'll tell you in a minute if my notes are right. Yep, 8:14. What does this say? Read it with me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Do you see here an advantage to being led by the Spirit of God? I would say that's to our greatest advantage. Now, how do I be led by the Spirit of God? Well, you need to know him, first of all. You can't follow someone you do not know. So everybody needs to start on square one and get to know Jesus, the shepherd. And it's not hard. He's readily available, instantly available. All we have to have is a sincere heart and a bended knee and say, Jesus, please, Jesus, I need help. He's standing right there saying, your wish is my command, baby. He's ready to help. Now, I want to skip one of these references and because Norman stole my sermon. The winds and the waves were led or in obedience to the Lord. And it's time for us, Norm, as Christians, to get enough brains to be smart as the winds and the waves and just obey the Lord. And you might say, why would he want so many sons obeying him? You ever wonder why? You know, well, I suppose number one reason could be he wants us to be in obedience to him and follow him so we won't go to hell. That's a pretty good reason. I don't want to burn. You want to burn? Anybody want to burn? No, we don't want to burn. And so following Christ, following our good shepherd, is a good way to stay out of hot water, hot flames, hot potatoes, hot coals, hot death. Ooh, I'm so glad we can be led. But there's more than that's not the only reason. Are you still in Romans 8? I am. And I'm going to read 18 and 19. Paul says here, speaking to the Roman church, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Does this tell us that there's going to be some glory revealed in us? I don't know what it looks like exactly, but I know it's going to look like Jesus. That's as glory as you can get. You still with me? Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for what? The revealing of the sons of God. Why does God want a bunch of sons following him around? It's because he wants to reveal to creation himself. He wants to reveal to your neighborhood himself. He wants to reveal to those people Norman talked about that you were supposed to be talking to and giving our life story to. Yeah. He wants to reveal himself through his body. Sometimes we think God's going to do all this stuff by himself. You know, he's going to handle the present by himself. He's going to handle the future by himself. And it's all in God's hands. Dios sabe. God knows. No, he's waiting. All creation is waiting. The angels are waiting. The demons are trembling while they wait. There's coming a revealing and a manifestation of the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit and walk out the Word are going to be revealing the attributes and the nature and the will and the desire and the plan of the Most High upon the earth. The planet better get ready. Because when God's sons turn loose, brother, and you girls get to be sons too in a godly kind of way. Yes! I'm telling you, it's good stuff. It's amazing. It's funny. We think God's going to do all this stuff, and we forget that he has a body. Do you, as you're the, this is the head. Does it work without the body? Well, the head, Jesus, doesn't work without his body. He's waiting for those that are willing and ready to be led so that he, through his body, can reveal himself to a hungry earth. Oh, it's going to be sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Some of us remember that song. There really was a song. Sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Told you there was a song about that. Sweeter and sweeter. Oh, who was it said? Was that you, Mitch? Somebody, Denise? Somebody said, Eric. Said, you've got a future. Who said that this morning? You weren't listening. I wasn't either. I forgot who said it. One of you guys got up here this morning. You've got a future in the Lord. Amen. Whoever it was, we just amen them right here and now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I just, for some reason, feel like we need to read Colossians 1, verse starting with verse 9. It's okay if I have that feeling, isn't it? I feel like we need to read Colossians 1, starting with verse 9. And I'm going to read, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 scriptures. As we read along, think about what he has done to clean us up from iniquity and what he is doing and going to do because we're clean. Okay? Now, everything that God does through us, he does because of his grace and our faith working together. It's not by our righteous acts. It's not by our own righteousnesses. It's not by our good works. You know, it's because God is working in and around us and through us and leading us. You know, it's interesting. The good shepherd only leads to good places. Psalms 23 says, to green pastures, to still waters. Amen. Did I ever find Colossians 9, 1-9? For this reason, Paul the Apostle speaking, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want to be full of the knowledge of his will. And step one, if I want to be full of the knowledge of his will, step one is to have the revelation that I am forgiven. I qualify to know his will because I'm forgiven. Because of what he did for me. We're on the track, right? Number 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There'll never come a day when we know it all. We have here the increasing of the knowledge of God. Number 11. We'll be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father. Oh, get ready. Fasten your seatbelt. Fasten your seatbelt. Because he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. The devil says, you're not qualified. You're not worthy. You're not qualified. You're not worthy. There's iniquity in your past. Everybody say, that old man's dead. Giving thanks to the Father who has, past tense, qualified us to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. This partaking of the inheritance is part of the revealing of the sons of God, those who are being led. I'm telling you, you've got a future. Verse 13. It's okay if you shout, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now that's pretty cool that he took us out of darkness. But he didn't stop there because he's leading. And then he conveyed us. You ever see a conveyor belt moving stuff? Conveyed us, moving. Now, if you're riding a conveyor belt, you're moving, but you're not doing the movement. It's not your movement, you're riding. Okay, well, he's conveying us. You see, you just need to get on the belt and go for the ride. Everybody's okay, right? I never preached to such a quiet crowd. And he has conveyed us. And where are we going? Into what? The kingdom of who? The Son of His love. Don't you love that terminology? Jesus is the Son of His love. Oh, that's beautiful terminology. Verse 14. Okay, the Son of His love, in whom we have what? Redemption. Through what? His blood. And what else do we get? Forgiveness of sins. You need to, don't just tell somebody, shake them a little bit and say, you got to understand this. You're free. You can go home. Connie's heading out. She's going. Not yet, Connie. Hallelujah. Folks, this is good stuff. I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but get on a high with the word this morning. Let the word be your high because you're free. Number 15 says, he, speaking of Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God. How many of you raise your hand saying, I've seen God. I know what he looks like. I saw God. I saw the picture. No, nobody's seen God, but there's some people seen Jesus. And he's the image of the invisible God. You say, well, why is God invisible? Well, I'm not sure, but Jesus said it like this. God is a spirit. And you know, funny thing, when spirits are spirits and they're not indwelling something, they're just spirit and you can't see them very good with the natural eye. But when the Spirit of God gets in something, then you can see. Jesus is the indwelling, has the indwelling Spirit of God. So he manifests God. What's God look like? Jesus. What does Jesus do? He manifests, reveals God. What is his body? The body of Christ supposed to be doing? Revealing God because the Spirit indwells us. Most of those guys are there asleep, so I'm going to preach over here. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm right-handed, but I spend most of my preaching time over there, and I apologize because you really are the prettiest ones. Where am I? Before I interrupted myself, I was in verse 15. Now, let's go to 6. No, let's finish 15. I don't think I ever finished it, did I? He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The what? What does that represent? Firstborn? What are we signifying here? Have you ever heard of the term? Come on now. Have you ever heard of, Have you ever heard of the term born again? Raise your hand if you're born again. Well, Jesus was the firstborn again. And when he was born again, he was born into the kingdom. And when he was born again, he was born into perfectness and born into holiness and born into righteousness and born into godness, born into the kingdomness, born into lifeness. And then when you got born again, the same thing is happening to you and me. And we've been born into life and born into love. You know why you can love me even though I'm ugly? It's because you've been born into love. Yeah, somebody ought to be shouting about now. And it's all because he forgave my iniquity. That's where it all started, and that's where it's going to end. Someday, and I say this with trembling lips and shaking knees, but someday I'm going to stand before that throne. And before the judge of the universe, and he's going to say, son, I've got a record book here. I say, I know, sir, but I'm pleading the blood. You pleading guilty or innocent, boy? I'm pleading the blood. He's going to say, you're free. You can go home. Somebody get this with me this morning. You're free. You can go home. Sit still. Well, preacher, I've heard that before. Well, when you really hear it, you're going to shout with me. Excuse me while I drink. That was so good. Wish you had some. Number 16. Why don't we just keep reading as long as it's fun? What do you say? Number 16, Jesus is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. And for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he, Jesus, is before all things. And in him, Jesus, all things consist. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Lord, give us that revelation, who we are in you. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. And here we have it again. And he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. He's the firstborn here now. We talked about him being the firstborn in the kingdom, the firstborn in love, and the firstborn in life. And now he's the firstborn from the dead. And he's leading us so that we can be the secondborn from the dead, and the thirdborn from the dead, and the 568,000 millionth from the dead. Because of him we live, baby, we live. And it's a forever thing. We live, we live, we live. Whether it's invisible or visible, we live. Because he forgave our iniquity. One old boy punched the other and says, "You look a lot better now since you're cleaned up." Well, what do you do with this? This is just so good. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, my, my, my. Okay, I've got 10 minutes. If I quit at 12, and I will, because I just can't stand long-winded preachers. No, that's a relative term. Long-winded to some use 20 minutes. So I'm a long-winded preacher. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, my. Jesus, help me. Lord, I just want the revelation. I want my people to have the revelation. They're free. Lord, they can go home. They're not next in line anymore. They can go home. Oh, Lord, reveal to my people, Lord. They can go home. You took their place. You stepped in front of them. And you went in that chamber, and they can go home. Lord, for those that don't get it today, help them get it tonight. When they lay down on the bed, and just before they drop off into sleep, just let them wake up shouting, realizing that they've been forgiven. That the iniquity's gone. Iniquity means, in one of the definitions, it means the punishment of sin. And so help them know that their punishment, the punishment of sin is gone. Not only is the sin of iniquity gone, but the iniquity or punishment of sin is also gone. Oh, folks, are you getting this? Somebody. The sin's gone. And the iniquity, the punishment for it is gone. Gone. And you know, all this was his idea. Lord, I don't know what to do. Let's all stand to our feet. As you stand here, just close your eyes for a minute, and I'm going to give you some references, and if you want to know them, I'll share them with you after the service. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says that he doesn't hold these sins against us anymore. In 1 Peter 1:18, he says we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says we're bought, purchased with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 9:14, it says that his blood, oh, this is a good one. Hebrews 9:14 says his blood purges our conscience. You see, sometimes we have a sin consciousness that I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I've got iniquity. You know you're forgiven, but you don't really know that you know that you know that you know that you're forgiven. And you hang on to some of that old stuff and let the devil plague you with it. And it says here in Hebrews that the blood of Jesus purges your conscience, so you're no longer having that sin conscious problem. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that we all stand as candidates today, receiving by faith today the cleansing, the purging of our consciousness, Lord, that we no longer have a sin consciousness, but that we have a pure and holy consciousness, knowing that your blood has washed even our mind. Oh, my, 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 my. Acts 10:43 said, to Jesus all the prophets gave witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Even the Old Testament prophets, before Jesus came along and did all this, even those Old Testament prophets were preaching, hey, somebody's going to come and redeem you. And your sin's going to go into remission. Remission's kind of like going into reverse and backing up until you can't see it anymore. It just stays in remission until it gets so far away you can't find it. Jesus said, he said, your sins are so far, it's as far as the east is from the west. It's just so far, you can't find it. Hebrews 13:20, I want to read to you. Just keep your eyes closed, please. Meditate on the goodness of your God and the fact that he really has set you free. Hebrews 13:20. Paul ended, or the writer of Hebrews ended this exhortation, this letter, and he says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Remember how we talked about